This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to continue part two of our series on instrumental music. Many people know that local churches of Christ do not have instruments of music, and we're studying why that is the case. Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, we looked in our first installment that in the New Testament church, all the examples of music are vocal music, singing. When it comes to music in the local church, praising God, it is always and without exception singing. That is the music that the Lord wanted in the New Testament church, and we strive to do that today. Even though there are many denominations and religions that have instrumental music, and it sounds nice, all of that was added many years after the New Testament church. If you would like to hear that first installment on the instrumental music question, I would encourage you to go to our website of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. It is wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. We keep all of our past Let the Bible Speak recordings on our website. So in our first installment, we looked at the fact that the music that the Lord wants in His church is that of singing. In our part two of this series, the instrumental music question, I would like to answer various arguments that are made from the Bible where people try to justify instrumental music in their church, and they go to the Bible in order to try to justify that. And I'd like to answer those arguments this morning. First of all, people will turn in their Bible and they'll find people playing instruments. And they'll say, see, there's people playing instruments, and so we can have instruments in the church today. There's a couple of things wrong with that approach, just opening up your Bible and wherever it falls, reading a verse, and then trying to apply that to the church. There's a couple of problems with that. Number one, a lot of times when you just open your Bible like that, individuals are being discussed and not the church. And secondly, you may open up your Bible and it might be under the old law that we're not under today. We're under the new law. And so we can't just find a verse that has people playing instruments. It would need to be the New Testament church. And so consider that as we go through some of these arguments. First of all, a lot of times people will say, well, instruments were used in the patriarchal period, going back before the law of Moses. For example, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21, we find instruments being made there. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all that such as handle the harp and the pipe. But what individuals did in the patriarchal time does not apply to the local church in the New Testament. Another example is in Exodus 15, 20 and 21, where Miriam and the other women are singing praise after crossing the Red Sea and coming out of Egypt. It said that they took timbrels and engaged in dancing, and they were praising that way. Well, again, just finding individuals playing some instruments and doing some things does not justify, does not authorize what should go on in the local church in the New Testament. Not only do we find timbrels being played there, but the text says that they were dancing. Would that authorize church dancing in worship today? Should we start doing that? So, it's not the New Testament church, and that's what we need in order to have the right kind of authority. Another argument that is commonly used, and this is one of the most popular ones, and that is that David, in the book of Psalms, used instruments to praise God. And there are places in the life of David and others around him at that time who were using instruments. Here's a great example of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 25. 2 Chronicles 29, 25. This is in the days of Hezekiah. And he set the Levites in the house of Jehovah with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet, for the commandment was of Jehovah by his prophets. And the Levite stood with the instruments of David, and the priest with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer up the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of Jehovah began also, and the trumpets together with the instruments of David, king of Israel, and all the assembly of Israel worshipped, and so forth. So here you have instruments in worship to God. Notice that they are commanded. The commandment was of Jehovah. So it's not just optional, it was commanded. But what was used and even commanded in the temple service here in Hezekiah's reign is in the Old Testament. And that law, that commandment under David, does not apply to the local church of the New Testament. The law of Moses, of which David was under and Hezekiah was under, it has been abolished. It has been taken away and removed. We're no longer under the old law, Romans 7:6. It has been taken away and nailed to the cross, Ephesians 2:14 and Colossians 2:14. The writer of Hebrews says he takes away the first commandment, the first testament, the first law, that he might establish the second. He taketh away the first, Hebrews 10, verse 9. It has not been kept around as a law that we are under. We can learn from it. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15, verse 4. But it is not a commandment that we are obligated to obey today. We go by New Testament authority, not Old Testament authority. And that's really, that might be the subject of another Let the Bible Speak program, because that is such a fundamental principle that we need to understand today, that we're not under the old law, we're under the new law. And that is not taught in many places, it's not understood, it's not recognized, and so people just open their Bible, and if it flops open to somewhere in the old law, they put their finger on it and they say, we need to be doing it today. People do that with instruments. People do that, our Seventh-day Adventist friends do that with the Sabbath day. People do, various denominations do that with tithing. It's all under the old law. So they'll go back and they'll get the Sabbath day, tithing, instrumental music, and other things. Some try to get infant baptism from the circumcision of the old law. So we're not under that law. Are you willing to introduce other Old Testament practices into the church, such as the Sabbath day, the Passover, animal sacrifices, incense? Do you know that in Psalm 149 and Psalm 150, there is dancing with instruments? Would this authorize church dancing today? In Psalm 66 and verse 15, there is sacrifice, animal sacrifice with incense. And incense, would this authorize church sacrifices and incense today? And there are some, like the Catholic Church and other churches, that have incense. We're just getting things out of the old law and applying them to the new law. And we're not supposed to do that. And here's why. And Paul even writes of this matter. There were those who were trying to apply circumcision out of the old law. They were trying to bind that on New Testament Christians. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, it's a very serious rebuke. It's not just an opinion. It's not just, well, you know, some people don't like to go to the old law. He said, if you bind one thing from the old law, you're obligated to bind all of it. Paul said, I say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Galatians 5:2. I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. And there's a lot of people today that say you can't fall from grace. And Paul said you are fallen from grace when you try to go back and receive this one thing as a binding condition and apply it to New Testament Christians. Number one, you're obligated to do all of it if you're going to keep part of it. And number two, if you do that, you're severed from Christ. So let's not go back to the old law. We all recognize that not only was it used in the time of David and the Psalms and other places in the Old Testament, it was commanded. We fully and readily recognize that. But it's a command that is not for us today. Just like the command for Noah to build the ark was a command for Noah at his time. We have to consider that it's not a command for us today to each go out and build an ark. So we have to keep God's word in its context. We have to rightly divide the scriptures and not just let our Bible flop open to some place and put your finger on it and say, this is for us today. There are even things in the New Testament that were not for all Christians of all time. We can't even just let our New Testament flop open and put our finger somewhere. We have to read the context and see if it says that it is for all Christians for all time. And so we have to use our Bible better than many people use it. Coming now to the New Testament, here are some more arguments. First of all, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 25, when the prodigal son comes back, we find that instruments were used by the father of the prodigal son. They have this party, this meal, this get-together, this feast, and it's an exciting time. This man, his son, comes back, and he's so glad that he does, and we find that, and the elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. The father was happy that the prodigal son had come home. Music in this passage is from the Greek word symphonia, from which we get our English word symphony. It was used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 3, instruments that were being played at the bowing down of the idol there. But again, who is being discussed? What is being discussed? What was used by individuals in a personal party here does not apply to worship in the local church. And notice also again that dancing is also mentioned in this verse. Would that justify and authorize and command church dances as a part of worship? We have that expression, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If it justifies one, music, playing of instruments, then it justifies the other, dancing, in worship to God. Now, there are some denominations that do that, but not all of them. Denominations, various religions that have instruments of music, they wouldn't have anything to do with dancing as a part of worship. And yet the verse mentions both. But neither of these two apply to the local church. This was a private individual party that was thrown for a son that had returned. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Paul talks about instruments. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1, chapter 14, verses 7 through 9, he talks about the cymbal and the trumpet there and things like that. Paul was using an illustration of an instrument to make a point. He's not giving a description of New Testament worship. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is actually talking about the assembly of the New Testament church, and when they come together for worship, there's no question about that. But when Paul brings up the instrument in 1 Corinthians 14, 7 and 9, he's using it as an illustration to make another point that when tongue speakers speak, they need to be clear. There needs to be an interpreter so that everybody can understand it. There needs to be a certain clear voice. And he talks about some instruments there that have different kinds of sounds. He's using that as an illustration. Just as a trumpet would have a clear sound, so the tongue speaker, when he speaks, it needs to be interpreted so the message can be a clear sound. That's all that's being done here. And in chapter 13 and verse 1, he's using, again, instruments as illustrations of just making sounds. And if he was speaking without love, if he was speaking in a tongue without love, he's just making noises, just like sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. So don't let illustrations become prescriptions and commands for New Testament worship. Turn with me now to Ephesians 5:19. This is a very popular verse that is used to try to justify instrumental music. In fact, some in churches of Christ are now having instruments of music. There are some in the Nashville area and other places around the country. And some members of Churches of Christ are now appealing to Ephesians 5:19 to try to justify instruments of music. And the argument goes like this. Paul writes, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Their argument is that since Paul uses the word solo or psalms in Ephesians 5:19, since psalms were played on an instrument, like in the days of David, then psalms would have been played with instruments in the New Testament church in Ephesians 5:19. And that sounds pretty good, except the person making that argument doesn't understand some things. And so their point is that psalms means to play on an instrument. And so since the word psalms is used here in verse 19 in a couple of different ways, the word psalm and then the word making melody, salantes, that word inherently means to play on an instrument, so it's included here. Well, the Greek word solo can mean to play an instrument. But in New Testament times, it meant to sing. Words evolve in meaning. They change slightly in meaning. Even English words do that. We have to ask ourselves, what did Paul mean by the word at the time and place that he was using it when he's writing this letter to the Ephesian brethren? When the first word was used, the basic meaning of the Greek word solo is literally to pluck or twine or twitch or strike. It would be like pulling a bowstring. You hold a piece of string real tight and then you pluck it or twang it. It might make a little vibration or noise. So that's what it meant literally. Then it meant to play an instrument. This is in Old Testament times. Then it changed again by New Testament times to mean to sing a hymn. And good standard Greek lexicographers, individuals who define Greek words, they are careful to point out the change in meaning from Old Testament times to New Testament times. From plucking to playing to singing. And they're careful about that. One example is the older Henry Thayer's Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament on page 675, under the definition of solo. He says, to pluck, to cause to vibrate by touching, to twang. And then he says, to play a stringed instrument, to play the harp, talking about Old Testament times. And then he says, in the New Testament, to sing a hymn, to celebrate the praises of God in song. And then he gives James 5:13 and also Ephesians 5:19. So the root meaning, to cause to pluck, to twang, to twitch, to strike, then to play an instrument, and then it evolves later in time, by the New Testament time, to sing a hymn. A psalm can be sung just as easily as it can be played on an instrument. A psalm is still a psalm without an instrument being played. And we need to remember that. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. In other words, the New Testament church would sing Old Testament psalms. They didn't play them, they would sing them. And that, yes, that is possible. In Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2, O come, let us sing unto Jehovah. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Well, what kind of psalm? What kind of noise, excuse me? Verse 1, sing unto Jehovah. Let us make a joyful noise. And then let us make a joyful noise by singing with psalms. And so psalms can be sung. So we're talking about New Testament times when we're talking about Ephesians 5:19, and we need to properly define the Greek word when we do that and not take that out of its context. Now here's another argument that is made on Ephesians 5:19 while we're here. Some If you have that Bible open, have your Bible open, look at Ephesians 5:19. Paul writes, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So here's a second argument. The first argument it is, psalms means playing an instrument. So the word psalms is in this verse, so they were playing instruments. We've already defined that psalm by New Testament times meant to sing a hymn. Here's a second argument that people make on Ephesians 5:19. Speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Look at this. Singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. So the argument is, Paul wrote singing and making melody. The NIV says singing and making music. So singing is from the Greek auto, and making melody is from the Greek solantes, which is similar to solo or psalms. And their argument is these are two different things, singing and playing an instrument. Because like the NIV says, singing and making music. So the music is on an instrument. Those are two different things, singing and making music. Again, that sounds good, but we need to look at a few things. First of all, solantes, translated making melody or making music, is literally psalming. Singing and psalming is literally the idea there. The English word melody in my translation, the American Standard Version, or music in the NIV, is a translation of psalming. So be careful about reading into the word melody or music the idea of an instrument. It's literally psalming. And we've already noticed then, solantes is from solo, which we have already shown to mean sing in New Testament times. So singing and psalming. Notice in the first part of the verse, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Singing and praising. Singing hymns of praise to God. That's what making melody, that's what the Greek word solantes means. And in New Testament times, it meant to sing a hymn. Here's a third argument, here's a third response to that argument that should completely answer this. Read the rest of the verse. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. The heart is the specified object of making melody. That is, singing and making melody with or in the heart. The object is the heart. We need to be careful about saying that an instrument, a musical instrument, is inherent in the definition of solantes, or making melody, or making music. It's not. An instrument is not inherent in that definition. The instrument has to be supplied. How that psalming is done has to be supplied by the context, and it is, in verse 19, with your heart. So solantes is not an instrument of music. The object of the solantes, or the psalming, must be determined, specified, or supplied by the context. In Ephesians 5:19, it's the heart. In the Old Testament psalms, the mechanical instrument is specified. There's a number of places where cymbals and harps and trumpets and so forth are specified. That's how we know what those instruments were. Why did Paul, who knew the Old Testament Psalms, not specify the mechanical instruments to be used here in Ephesians 5:19? And the answer is because by the New Testament time, solo and solantes no longer involved the mechanical instrument of music and worship to God. Paul supplies then the heart. That's what drives the singing. And then last of all, in answer to this, the parallel passage in Colossians 3:16 also tells us that singing is what is meant. If you put Ephesians 5:19 right beside Colossians 3:16, you'll find in Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And in Colossians 3:16, you'll find singing with grace in your hearts unto God. So singing and making melody is parallel with singing. Friends, solo by New Testament times meant to sing, not to play. And solentes, translated making melody or making music, is a command for everyone, not just one member or a few. All must do it. Here's another thing. What's interesting is the verse says, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. It's all of them. But in a modern day church music setting, one person is playing the piano. One person is playing the organ. A few people are in the band. Not everybody's playing an instrument. And yet Ephesians 5:19, all of the people discussed there are to be doing these things. One to another, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. All of them are to be doing that, not just a soloist up there on the stage, one person playing, or a small band. And so if you're going to use that verse to justify instrumental music, at least read the whole thing and properly apply the whole thing. Everybody coming in would have to be playing some kind of instrument. And we know that that is not what is being done today. Friends, there are other points that are made. Some people talk about a trumpet being blown when Jesus comes again, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Some people talk about the sound in Revelation 14, verse 12. Again, these are things that are not applied to the church in worship. When Jesus comes again, what he uses at his second coming has nothing to do with New Testament worship now. What we find in heaven has nothing to do with New Testament worship now. And if you want to read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of other things in heaven, such as golden bowls and precious stones and incense and lamps and a sea of glass and a throne and a whole bunch of other things. Do you want to bring that into the church as well? I hope we better understand the instrumental music question. We sing because that's what God wants us to do. We refuse to play a musical instrument because God never authorized it in the New Testament for New Testament worship in the local church to God. We can unite, friends, upon what the New Testament teaches, but we can never unite upon what is not in the New Testament. New Testament authority is for singing. Mechanical instruments of music in worship to God by Christians is never found in the New Testament. That's why we don't have it at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We're glad that you have joined us for another edition of this program, and we ask you to tune in next week, Lord willing, for our final installment on this question. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.